Passwords. Passwords are something you know. Well, the problem is we have this dilemma. Typically, if we make it easy for the user to remember the password, then it's easy for an attacker to be able to guess. And if we make it hard for the adversary, then we're making it hard for the user. Example, ideally, what is the best way to utilize passwords? One-time passwords. Every time you authenticate, you have a different password. What's great is now, if somebody steals my password or somebody guesses my password, they get access once. It changes every time I log in, so they can't get it again. Well, the problem is, unless you complement it with something you have that will generate that new password on behalf of the user, most users will not change their password every time they log in. How scalable do you think a solution is? Every time you log in, it forces you to change your password to a new password, right? Not going to work or be scalable. So that's the issue. So then we have to use a static password. Now, a static password, if we let the user pick it, there's a better chance they will remember it. But if users pick it, there's a greater chance the adversary will also guess it. If we generate it for the user, then it's really hard for the adversary because we're going to generate a strong, robust password. But if it's picked for the user, what are they most likely going to do? Write it down, because they're not going to be able to remember it. So what we often do is we don't want users writing down passwords. So how do we go in and control user pick? We use complexity check. So we make sure that the password has to at least have letters, numbers, and special characters. So the way we control user pick passwords is by implementing complexity checks. Also, the longer you use a password, not only the greater exposure, because if I have a password for 2 years and somebody breaks it after 6 months, that's a long amount of access. If I have a password that changes every 7 months and you break it in 6 months, you only have 1 month of access. So the longer the password is used for, the greater the exposure. Also, the longer the password is good for, the more time an adversary can take to break it. If my password is only good for 30 days and it takes you 45 days to break it, that's sort of useless. If my password is good for 2 years and it takes you 45 days to break it, high value. So that's why we're always checking, tracking, and verifying that expiration date to control and limit the damage. Then adversaries are typically going to use automated programs. Honestly, if some adversary wants to sit in front of a keyboard and manually type in username, password, enter, username, password, enter, I'm sort of okay with that, because that's going to be really long for them to get in. What I'm not okay with is for them to use an automated program that can try thousands of guesses every minute and basically churn through hundreds of thousands of passwords within a day. That's what's not acceptable. So then we implement account lockout that says if there are 5 failed logins within 8 days. Yeah. So Rainbow Tables is based on the fact that we're having predictability in password hash. What I'm referring to is this. A rainbow table is relying on the fact that if I have a password of New York pound 10, you have a password of New York pound 10, you have a password of New York pound 10, the hash will always be the same. That everyone who has the same password will have the same hash. So the idea of that rainbow table is if we go in and we have all these inputs with an output. Input with an output, input with an output. You then have your New York pound 10, and then you have your RW percent 5Z dot, 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 and then you have the rest. We're assuming, when we alphabetically sort this, that everyone who has a password in New York pound 10 will have the same hash. So if we look it up in the hashing table, we can look up what the input was and be able to break your password. So how do we go in and defeat rainbow tables? By randomizing everyone's password. If we can randomize everyone's password, and now even if you have the same password, you will have a different hash, we can defeat rainbow tables. So the way we do that is with a salt. A salt is a unique random value that's generated for every user account. And it's stored with your encrypted password. So now, what I would do is when I go in and create every account, I'm going to generate a unique 10-character random number for every single account. So every account has its own unique random number. Then, when you enter in New York pound 10 as your password, we combine it with your salt, and then we run it through the hashing algorithm. Now, even though I have a password in New York pound 10, and you have a password in New York pound 10, and you have a password in New York pound 10, because we all have different salts, our hashes will all be different. None of our hashes will be the same. Actually, more importantly, none of our hashes will be this. So now, your hash might be that, my hash might be that. Great. Look it up in the rainbow table. Look at what the input was. That's not your password. So that's still not going to work, and that's still not going to be effective. So the idea of a salt is it now randomizes everybody's hash, so now there's no predictability, and now you can't statically look it up in the file. Now the question I always get asked is, but Eric, where is the salt stored? With the encrypted password. So if somebody gets my encrypted password, they have my salt. Yes. So can't they go in and use my salt to generate a rainbow table? Yes. What is that called? Brute forcing. That's going to take 2 years. Good luck with that. So yes, you can go in and you can get each person's salt and create a unique rainbow table, but that's a brute force attack. So basically what salts do is they force you to have to do a brute force attack for each account. And they make a pre-computation attack useless because pre-computation is based on everyone having the same password, having the same hash, and salts make everyone with the same password have different hashes. And now a pre-computation attack would no longer be effective. So let's go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and then we'll keep rocking and rolling with our passwords. All right, so now we get in to this idea of multi-factor authentication. Now, here's where we have to be a little careful. Multi-factor authentication is sometimes called strong authentication, but it's only stronger than a single factor if there's an overlapping element. So you can't ever generically say, 2 is stronger than 1. You can't ever say something you know and something you have is stronger than something you are. Because that's comparing apples and oranges. There's no overlapping element and there's no grounds to make that comparison. So you can never say generically in all cases 2 is stronger than 1. The only time you can say it's stronger, and what we're referring to as stronger is if there's an overlapping element. So, for example, having a token by itself that if somebody steals, they can now log into your system, or having a token with a PIN where you have to enter in a PIN and then enter in the token, You can absolutely say that a token with a pin is stronger than a token, because there's an overlapping element there, and that is absolutely a true statement. So I want to make sure we're crystal clear, because a lot of people read it as strong in general. No, it's stronger in relative terms. So if I have two factors and one of those is by themselves, then I can say two is stronger than one, but there has to be an overlapping element. You can never say that having a token with a pin is stronger than using biometrics, because they're not comparable. And I could argue that biometrics by itself in many scenarios could actually be stronger and better than a token with a pin. So we can never generically say two is stronger than one. You have to answer the question, and you can only say two is stronger than one if there's that overlapping element between them. So once again, if we get back to a question on the exam, our organization has tried many methods to authenticate individuals, and none of them worked effectively. We are now in the process of using physical human attributes to authenticate individuals to the system, which would be the strongest way of meeting this requirement. A, something you know. B, something you have and something you know. C, some place you are. Or D, something you are. Correct answer is D, right? D, D, D? Okay. I thought I heard some B's. I was gonna, yeah, D as in David, D, D, D. Because it's going in and it's saying physical human attribute, and it's going in and saying that's how we're going to authenticate. The only one of those four choices that meets the requirements in the question is D, which is going to be something you are. But Eric, B has two factors. Who cares? They're not overlapping. They don't meet the requirements of the question, and therefore, it's not going to be correct. Make those questions simpler for you. What I recommend you do in those cases is create a little logic chart on your scrap paper. So here's what I would do. I would say A is something you the same. So now when you go in the next time and enter in this password, it's expecting that password and your access will be failed. So with synchronous, as long as your battery is good and the time is good, these devices are going to stay in sync pretty easily. With asynchronous, it's up to the user to carefully manage. And if the user goes in and hits generate, 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 and doesn't use those passwords, it can easily get out of sync with the server list and could easily not allow you to log in. Now, the other preferred method, if we are going to use a static password, we never want the static password to go over the wire in any form, even in encrypted form. And here's why. Because if you're going in, and even if you're sending it in encrypted form, isn't it the same encryption every time? It is. So now, even though it's getting encrypted, it's encrypted the same way every time. So now it's the same random characters going over the wire each time. So now, if somebody intercepts it, they don't know what your password is, but what can they do? They can go and replay it another time. So even encrypting a static password is subject to a replay attack and is not good. So what challenge response does is every time you go to log in, it's going to generate a challenge that you combine with your password that creates a unique response. So now, even though my password is the same, the challenges are always different, and therefore the responses will always be different. So now it will not be subject to a replay attack.